Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics, a program designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God. Pastor Brian is currently teaching through a series of topical studies, and coming up, we're learning about what it looks like when there's a famine of God's Word. So let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Amos chapter 8 for a message called Famine or Feast as we go back to basics.
And so we read, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of the hearing of the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea and from north to east. They shall run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord, but shall not find it." And so here we have the pronouncement of God's judgment in the form of a famine. But not a famine as we would normally think of it. Not a famine for bread or thirst for water. But of hearing the words of the Lord. One of the ways God judges a nation is by taking his word from the nation. Most people in our nation, I would think, have no realization that it's the influence of God's word upon our culture that has made life as we know it, life which is generally safe, peaceful, prosperous, and pleasurable, what it is. It really is the influence of the word of God that has brought us the life that we know. A deprivation of God's word in any society always leads ultimately to confusion, chaos, oppression, depression, and misery. These are manifestations of God's judgment. A few years back, I had this, as people say, I had this epiphany. You know, suddenly something struck me, something dawned on me that I hadn't really understood. And it was in reference to the passage that we're reading here. Many of you know that I've spent a lot of years ministering in the UK. And Britain these days is just a terribly dysfunctional society. And I remember one day, you know, just as I was engaged in some sort of ministry, I just was thinking about how messed up the culture is and how devastated people's lives are. And it just suddenly struck me that this is a fulfillment of what Amos was talking about. And it was in the context of ministering and, you know, sharing the word and being involved in church planting and outreach and things, and thinking, you know, man, it's just like, people can't hear. They can't hear the word of the Lord. Why? What is the matter? Why can't they hear it? And this verse came to mind. And I felt like I was seeing right before my eyes, I was seeing what Amos was talking about. This was a famine that God had himself brought. To me, that was the only explanation for the condition. And I've had that experience not just in England, but in various parts of Europe. And I think you could probably say that there are places around this nation where there's a similar type of a thing. But here's the question. What would cause God to do such a thing? After all, we know that God wants people to hear his word. He wants people to believe his word. So why would he call for a famine of hearing the words of the Lord? I believe the answer is this. God's word is so precious and highly valued in his sight that continued indifference, contempt, or disregard for it must ultimately be met with judgment. And that's what we see happening here. That's the context of the words of Amos. What is true of nations and cultures is also true of individuals. So we personally, we must be careful, very careful, to receive with reverence the word of God, lest there come a famine for the word of God in our own lives, lest there come this type of a judgment where we ourselves are no longer really able to hear the word of the Lord because maybe we have become indifferent toward it. So this is something that I think is very real. I think it's happening to some extent in our nation. We're seeing different segments of the culture where I think it's happening even more so. And then there's always, as I said, the personal element. I think this is what Jesus was referring to when he said this. Mark chapter 4, he said, "Take heed how you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him." So Jesus is speaking to the people who are hearing the word of God, and he's saying to them, now listen, he's talking about receptivity. Take heed how you hear. You see, it's not enough just to hear it audibly. We need to be receiving it because it's really our receptivity to the word that's going to determine whether or not we're going to continue to receive and, of course, benefit from that reception. But if there's a hardness, if there's a resistance that begins to set in and we're not hearing, as Jesus says here, even what they seem to have will ultimately be taken from them. So what are the things that would cause God to send a famine of hearing his word? Well, they're the things that I just mentioned. An indifference toward his word. An indifference toward his word. Just as sort of a take it or leave it. Well, okay, you know, that's fine. The Bible, you know, some say it's the word of God. Well, you know, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. I'm not sure. The Lord spoke through Hosea. He said, "I have written for him," speaking of Israel, "the great things of my law, but they were considered a strange thing." So you see, from God's perspective, his word, this is a great thing. God's word, there's nothing greater than this word that we have before us in our Bibles. There's nothing more valuable. There's nothing that we should treasure higher. As Psalm 19 tells us, more to be desired are they than gold, these words. Sweeter than the honey and the honeycomb. This is the most valuable. The Queen of England, some years ago, she spoke of the Bible as being the greatest national treasure of the British people. But whether she realized it or not, she was right. It's the greatest treasure that anybody could possess. But an indifference toward it, an attitude that would just say, well, I don't know, you know, the Bible, yeah, you know, take it or leave it. As God says here, it was a strange thing to them. So there's the indifference, but then indifference can lead to contempt. And so we see with Israel, there was a contempt that began to develop, and to the point where the prophets over and over again, and even here in Amos, speaks of the fact that the people despised the law of the Lord. Man, think about that. You know, we're not talking about some heathen, pagan people. We're talking about God's people, but coming to a place of despising. They despised the word of the Lord, and then they also disregarded it. They have not kept his commandments. And this would be the indictment that God would bring over and over again as he was bringing judgment upon the nation. Similar kinds of things. Now, I think that we can see some things like this happening in our nation. I think as we look over a period of time, I think back a generation or two, back a generation ago or so, or maybe a little further back, back when I was a kid, there were displays of God's word throughout the culture, throughout society, that nobody was necessarily bothered by, but generally people were just sort of indifferent toward them. When I was a kid growing up in public school, we had the Ten Commandments posted in our public school classroom. Nobody was really bothered by it. Nobody was bringing a lawsuit against it or anything like that. Generally speaking, we just ignored it. Well, there they were, the Ten Commandments, you know what, whatever. We didn't think much about it. But it's interesting. One generation is indifferent toward it, but the next generation comes along and has contempt for it. And that's what we see happening in our culture today, don't we? We see that there is a contempt, and we see with our liberal judiciary that it's becoming, in their minds, unacceptable to have public displays of the Ten Commandments. There's a contempt for those commandments, and there's also the suggestion that we just completely disregard them. And people have gone so far as to say, we don't need them, they're outdated, they're irrelevant. We need to come up with a set of new commandments. We need to come up with commandments of our own. We don't need to be referring back to some ancient text. So we see it in the culture in that sense. But, you know, the same is true in liberal churches. Most churches started out conservatively. Most did. They started out with an appreciation for God's word. But at some point, there was an indifference that set in. I was talking to one lady after the first service this morning, and she grew up in the Presbyterian church. And she was saying that as a child, as a young person, they had a Bible, and all the kids were given a Bible. And once a year, they would read the Christmas story from the Bible. And that was pretty much the extent of it. But the Bible was a good book. It was a valued book. It was a book that you should have on your bookshelf or your coffee table or whatever. And it had some good moral lessons to teach us and so forth. But again, you could sort of take it or leave it. An indifference. So it goes from a passion for the word, an excitement for the word, to, you know, just sort of taking it for granted, and an indifference sets in. But then a few generations down the line, now we see again, we see a contempt within the liberal churches for the word of God. A hatred. Talking about the Bible being filled with hate speech and things like that. This is coming from some churches. We can't trust the Bible as a text to guide our lives because of these things, and there's a contemptible attitude, and then, of course, there's just a complete disregard. We don't care what the Bible says about that. We don't agree with the Bible on that. We think Paul was wrong. He got all of that stuff wrong. He didn't know. He changed what the true religion of Jesus was, liberals would say. And so the liberal churches. But then, you know, it can also happen in our personal lives. And it's obviously more subtle. And even amongst us who are conservative in our theological views and who hold the Bible to be the Word of God, it is possible that we could come to a place where we start to take it for granted. Oh, you know, you hear it so often and you kind of just like, oh yeah, man, I've heard that so many times before. And we have such an abundance of the Word of God, sometimes we can begin to develop a lack of appreciation for it. I've met so many people that have moved out of state or out of the area, some cases even out of the country, and, you know, been away for a season, and then they come back and they'll say, oh man, you don't know how good we've got it here in Southern California. They're not talking about the weather. They're talking about the spiritual climate. You know, we've got the radios, the K-Wave, and we've got all the great Bible teaching, all that. That's not everywhere. But we get used to it. It just becomes mundane sometimes to us. So we start to take it for granted, and then an indifference develops. And then sometimes we can even start to have a little bit of a contempt for God's word. I don't like what the scripture says about that. I might want to go in a certain direction or do a certain thing, and yet God's word is sort of prohibiting me. So I start to look at it and say, well, you know, I don't know about this part right here. I'm not really sure what this means anymore. Used to be sure, but you know, not all that sure these days. And then the setting aside, a disregard. So these things are happening. They're happening on the larger scale around the nation. They're happening in different segments of the culture. We have to guard that they don't happen with us. So how do we avoid bringing this type of judgment on ourselves? Or how can we avert this kind of judgment coming upon the nation, say, collectively, or our community? Well, the first psalm gives us the answer. This first psalm tells us, blessed is the man, blessed is the woman whose delight is in the law of the Lord. You see, that is the attitude that we are to maintain from start to finish in our walk with the Lord. That God's word is a delight to us. That we love the Lord's word, that we cherish it, that we understand it and see it truly as the most valuable thing, because it really is. There's nothing like it. There's nothing that can compare to it. And the blessing that it brings to nations and cultures and communities and people as they come under its influence, we can never underestimate the power of it and the importance of it. I participated yesterday in an outreach that we did in Watts. We mentioned that a few weeks back, and thank you for those that prayed for it. It was a great outreach. And boy, talk about a community where you have confusion, you have chaos, you have oppression, depression, misery. Well, we don't have to go far to find that, do we? And interestingly enough, in that community, in the surrounding communities, Compton and some of these different places, you know, you practically have a church on every corner. But the commonality between each and every one of those churches is that none of them teach the Bible. They don't teach the Bible. Many of them don't even believe the Bible. But oftentimes, the ones that even believe it don't teach it. But you know what? Where somebody is teaching it, where somebody is faithfully proclaiming it and believing it, you know what you see happening? You see beauty for ashes. You see transformations taking place. And I found myself in conversations with men whose lives were devastated by sin. Years of imprisonment. I talked to one guy yesterday, he'd spent 40 years in prison. In and out for 20 and in straight for 21. 73 years old. And he sat there and just told me how God had saved him and God had transformed him. And I was listening to this man and he just kept quoting scripture to me. And I thought, this is so beautiful. This is so powerful. And speaking to different men around the community. And, you know, as we did this outreach, I was saying to my wife this morning, I said, you know, thank God that these guys have gone into that community and planted a church that teaches the Bible. Because had we just gone in and did what we did yesterday, although it was good, it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough just to go in and do evangelism and preach the gospel. We've got to have a place where people can be fed the word of God. Because that's where the transformation takes place. And that's what we see happening there. I'm off on a bit of a tangent, but it's relevant to the topic. But it was exciting. It's thrilling to see. And I was thinking again about the text here, and I was thinking, you know, I was talking to another man who's recently planted a church in Inglewood, and we were talking about just over the years. I used to have this kind of question in my mind where, you know, looking sort of from here or when I used to be in San Diego, and I would wonder, like, you know, we've got churches, we've got good Calvary Chapel churches and other churches all the way up, almost it seemed like to the LA County line. And then what happened, you know? It just sort of like we jumped over that and then, you know, kept going up the state. And I would always wonder back then, you know, what about that whole area there? Los Angeles, the city, and the surrounding communities. When I was a kid, I lived in a town called Bell Gardens, which is just about 7 miles from Watts. And places like that. And I would wonder. But anyway, I was talking to the pastor from the Inglewood Church yesterday, and as we were conversing about the whole thing, I said, you know, it's interesting because I was talking about, you know, teaching on this text today. So, you know, it does seem that there's been a famine for the Word of God in this whole region. But, I said, it's interesting, you know, that the Lord has a timing for things. And going back to my reference earlier to the UK, we've seen the results of a long famine of God's word, but we're seeing God's mercy, and we're seeing now people beginning to hear the word of God. And I think the same thing is happening in Watts and Inglewood and Compton and some of these places as we're talking about, you know, churches are beginning to pop up that have a strong conviction that God's word needs to be proclaimed. God's word needs to be expositionally taught. So anyway, how do we avoid bringing this type of judgment on ourselves? Well, we delight in the law of the Lord, and we show our delight in it by meditating in it day and night. You see, if I really delight in the Word of God, it's not that I just leave it over here on my shelf saying, oh boy, I love the Bible. You know, wow, the Bible's a great book. I just take so much delight in having it on my shelf there. No, if I delight in God's Word, I'm going to be in it. I'm going to be meditating on it. I'm going to be saturating my life with it. So real quickly, let me just break that down into 4 points. Meditating on the word or just being in it or saturating ourselves with it, avoiding this type of a thing, and then helping to avert it on the larger scale. Well, first of all, simply, we need to just learn to read our Bibles. Read the Bible. There's so many books written, aren't there? It's amazing to me how many books have been written. And there's some great books, and there's some okay books, and then there's some rubbish books. But you know, there's no book like the Bible. There's no book like the Bible. It is the only inspired text in the world. It's God's book that He gave to us. And we should, of course, because that's the case, we should read it. This has been the problem. Somebody said that the Bible is the best loved, least read book in history. And I think to some degree that's true, isn't it? Oh, we love the Bible. You ever read it? Well, haven't read it yet, but sure love it. Don't have time to read it. Got time to read all this other stuff. Because all of these things, as the New Testament reminds us, those things were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. These things were written as examples to us.
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics Radio with Pastor Brian Broderson. We'll return next time with more biblical insight from the Scriptures, but if you missed any part of this study, or you'd like to review it again, you can do so by going to backtobasicsradio.com, click on Resources, then Audio. There you'll find all of Pastor Brian's teachings through the Bible, and you can either podcast, stream, or download for free. If you'd like a CD, you can call us at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message by title or resource number. Today's message is called Famine or Feast, and the resource number is OBB554. If you have any questions or encouragement, or would like to support this ministry, we'd love to hear from you, and you can contact us directly at backtobasicsradio.com. You can also follow Pastor Brian on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Thanks again for tuning in today, and we pray the Lord continues to strengthen and encourage you in your faith as we study through the Word of God together. Our God. Back to Basics Radio is an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.